You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Another Saturday night, another victory, folks. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. We are here. You know, there are very few things in life, and I found this out as I've gotten older, and I guess everybody finds it out at some point. You can't count on a lot of people. You can't count on a lot of things. But for 10 years, you can count on us like granite. I mean, we are here every week. It don't matter if we're sick. We might take all right. If Saturday falls, if Christmas, December 25th falls on a Saturday, okay, we're going to play a tape. Other than that, or Frankie Valli comes to town. But besides that, we're gonna be here. And even if he did, I'd send you in, Keith, to run the show. So you and Eddie. But no, folks, seriously, it's an honor. I want to tell you that. We have a familial bond with our audience. It's not hokey. It's real. We feel it. You feel it. We are family, and we are here for you, and you are here for us. And it makes this arduous journey that's, you know, running this gauntlet that is just fraught with danger makes it bearable. And folks, it's an honor, truly, to be here for you every Saturday night. It's we love you, and we love doing it.
When James started off that segment, I thought he was going to say, "It's Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody." That's a song from back in his wheelhouse in his vintage. But let me tell you, if you are a regular listener to the Political Cesspool, you never have to say that. Because we're always here for you. Rain, shine, we're as reliable as U.S. Postal Service was supposed to be back in the days of the Pony Express. We're here all the time for you, and we consider that a sacred duty, and we're not about to violate it. We just need your help to run this thing, to meet the minimal expenses we have to be on the air every week. Please help us do that, because you're our family, and we're yours.
Amen, Brother Keith. And, of course, folks, we mean that with all sincerity. Again, in the top 10 tonight, right now, as we speak, you can track this real time. How do we know it? Well, we're looking at it. We're looking at the only system that audits, you know, real-time radio standings. And they only audit, I believe, about the top 50 or 60. And there we are, in the top 10 again tonight. Covered a lot of ground in the first hour, in no particular order. Barry Switzer, 15-yard penalty in the NFL for saying the N-word. I chuckle at that every time I read it. Female pilots, diversity in the Army, CPAC, first quarter fundraising drive. Keith just revisited that for a moment. A couple of other things. Now we're going to slow things down. You know, we were doing all the rock songs there in the first hour. We were hitting you with all the fast-paced ditties. Now we're going to slow things down, do a little ballad. We're going to give you a story, a theme this hour that we can really sink our teeth into and explore and cultivate in true political cesspool style with very extensively. And we're going to be talking about colonialism. Keith, why are we turning our gaze back to the age and era of colonialism and investing a full hour of our show to do so?
Precisely because colonialism, or anti-colonialism, as it were, was one of the absolute first initiatives of the left in their efforts to destroy the old order, the old traditional society of Europe. Colonialism, of course, only seems to apply to European colonialism, where Europe basically took control over parts of the Third World. Various nations in Europe took control of various territories in the Third World and used them for what I would say was the mutual benefit of both the colony and the mother country. But that was supposed to be one of the greatest indignities and one of the worst oppressions and tyrannies in the history of the world, if you listen to the left. In fact, it's our legacy of colonialism, supposedly, that makes whites and Europeans hated throughout the world. Well, we've got a differing take on that, as you might imagine, and we're going to explore that thoroughly in this hour. James, tell me what your thoughts are on colonialism.
Well, you look at it, I mean, certainly it's used today as a battering ram to shame whites into submission. Oh, look at the horrible era of colonialism. Well, how bad was it? You know, were the lives improved of the indigenous populations in some instances? Obviously, you know, the whites didn't go there to kill them. You know, the thing about the diseases, no one could have foreseen that. And certainly that was a tragedy. And I don't want to see anybody mistreated. I don't want to see other races mistreated by whites, or certainly vice versa. But I think you can draw many occurrences where it was a reciprocal and mutually beneficial operation. Look at Haiti now. You know, when Haiti was under the rule of the French, it was a pearl of the Caribbean. And once the Haitians, the native Haitians, revolted and murdered all the French, so you don't hear anything about that. You hear about white atrocities. You don't ever hear about the atrocities that the Haitians perpetrated against the French, you know, just murdered them all. And now, I mean, is Haiti better off now than it was under French rule? Are the Haitians better off than they were under French rule? There's no way you can argue that effectively.
No, you know, the truth is, of course, 180 degrees opposite of what the left would represent it to be. Actually, colonialism, rather than the worst thing that could have befallen one of these third world localities, was in actuality the best thing. Colonialism was beautiful. It was safe. It was civilized. It was Christian. Today, the old colonial world has been replaced by a dangerous, uncivilized, and anti-Christian post-colonial world. The ugliest recent manifestation of post-colonialism has been the martyrdom of hundreds of Christians and the reduction of even more to the status of refugees in the third world. Basically, the only reason any place in the third world shares any of the benefits of a first world lifestyle is because of the legacy of colonialism. If whites and Europeans had not come to Africa, to South America, to North America, to the Caribbean, to the Maghreb, to Africa, Northern Africa, and Sub-Saharan Africa, to Indochina, those places would be mired in either New Stone Age lifestyles or in primitive lifestyles that are at least five centuries behind where they are today. And they're where they are today precisely because of colonialism and the colonialist impulse. Of course, colonialism only refers to white European nations subjugating or colonizing third world non-white people. The fact of the matter is, Europe, large segments of Europe, was colonized by non-whites long before white Europeans started to colonize non-white parts of the world. For example, the Muslims who came to Andalusia and then took over the Iberian Peninsula and were intent upon taking over all of Europe, had they not been stopped by Charles Martel, the father of Charlemagne, at the Battle of Tours in 732, they colonized large parts of Europe, in fact, the entire Iberian Peninsula. Likewise, the Ottoman Turks took over all of Southeast Europe. The Balkans, that's why the Balkans is considered the most backward and primitive part of Europe, precisely because of that five-century interlude in which they were under the control and domination of the non-white Muslims from Turkey. We're going to talk more about these facts after these words from our sponsor.
It's March into savings time at Veteran-Owned Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save serious greenbacks before St. Patrick's Day? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans, meats, entrees, and vegetables are now 20% off only at freezedryguy.com. These are long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness food storage with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life. These are easy foods for your camping, hunting, backpacking, and sailing adventures. These are delicious, nutritious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness. And they're all now 20% off only at freezedryguy.com. This Mountain House food discount cannot be applied to other items currently on sale. But as always, you get free shipping from the Freeze Dry Guy within the lower 48 states. For more information, call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. March into savings, 20% off, now through Sunday, March 16th, only at freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Keith Alexander talking about the effects of colonialism. And to that end, I would like to quickly read for you a couple of statistics. There's a book by the name of The White Man's Burden that comes to mind when you're figuring out the total amount of money that the West has spent on foreign aid to Haiti and other sub-Saharan, obviously Haiti is a Caribbean country, but the other sub-Saharan black countries, non-white countries. Since the 1950s, it turns out that the West has spent over $2.3 trillion with the T dollars in foreign aid, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa, on the third world. In 2013 dollars, this is the equivalent of about 13 Marshall Plans. This was before the 2010 Haitian earthquake, after which more foreign aid poured into Haiti in 4 years than the previous 40 years combined. In 2014, sub-Saharan Africa, minus South Africa, has a combined economy smaller than Belgium. All right, here's the stats, Keith. During colonialism, all of these countries were self-sufficient. All of these countries were prosperous during colonialism. And profitable. You say, well, they were oppressed. They were, you know, ravaged. That's not true. They were much better off under colonialism than they are now. How do I know that? Well, I've got facts on my side. I don't rely on sensationalism or emotional arguments to prove my point. We have stats here that shows sub-Saharan Africa's dependence on foreign aid. I'll give you just one of them. No sub-Saharan country is more dependent on foreign aid than Liberia, which declared its independence in 1847. Liberia relies on foreign aid to the tune of 771%. 771% of Liberia's economy is based on benevolence from white countries. And it's just like that all over Africa, many of them far greater than 100% reliant on foreign aid.
And which white nation is at the forefront of providing this foreign aid to third world nations, former colonial nations? You guessed it, the United States of America, our home sweet home. This is money that we can ill afford to spend, and it's tantamount to throwing money down a rat hole. But we do it all the time anyway. We continue to do this despite the fact that it obviously is not only not helping, it is counterproductive. It prevents these nations from taking charge of their own economies. when they can get freebies from someone else. But the reality of it, James, is that none of these nations can be run and be a successful nation without white leadership. The only time there has been a successful nation in sub-Saharan Africa by any stretch of the imagination or modern standards was when several countries down there actually were run by white people. The former Rhodesia, which is now was the breadbasket of Africa, now it's Zimbabwe, the basket case of Africa. Same thing for South Africa. Those were the only two success stories in the dark continent below that sub-Saharan Africa, and that was because of white leadership. Likewise, Haiti never has achieved the level of prosperity that it had under French colonial rule. When they drove out the French and the white people, they also drove out prosperity. And at the present time, the nation exists solely on the basis of foreign aid. It does not have an economy to speak of. This is the way throughout the third world. Basically, the reason people in the third world hate whites and Europeans is because our existence and our lifestyle and our prosperity is a constant reproach to them. They have tried. They say, you know, why can't we do this just as well as you? Well, the verdict is in. The last colonial nations were back in the 60s. They were transformed into independent, self-governing republics, and every one of these nations is worse off today than they were when they achieved their independence, James.
Absolutely no reason for the United States government to give foreign aid. It doesn't have the authority to do it. It's unconstitutional. It's wrong. That being said, listen, I don't want to see these sub-Saharan blacks suffer. I don't want to see them live in poverty. I don't want to see them starve. You know, you see all these tear-jerking commercials with the malnourished black children. I mean, you know, come on, that's horrible. No one likes that. All right, but the thing about it is that the leadership in the media will tell you how evil white people are. No matter how many trillions you give them, though, they have proven that, number one, the leadership in those countries is criminally corrupt, and you're not going to change that. You're not going to change it because you can't get in there and colonize them anymore. You can't get them whipped into shape. Listen to this. Here's another statistic, and I know the left hates statistics, but the Daily Beast wrote an article. A 31-year-old journalist has figured out what's wrong with Haiti. The aid industry failed Haiti after its 2010 quake. That's the title of the article. Billions of dollars, Keith, poured into Haiti
and disappeared.
Billions of dollars in donations, foreign aid, private contributions went into Haiti, and they still don't have running water down there. Okay, now why don't they have running water after billions of dollars? Number one, they're inept. Number two, they're corrupt. I mean, that's just all there is to it. You can't fix that, folks. Yeah, I don't like to see people living like that. I don't like it. But listen, they didn't want colonialism. They didn't want the evil white racist there. You know, look at South Africa. Yeah, South Africa was great. Okay? I mean, things ran there. Things worked. They weren't treated as badly as they lead you to believe. Not at all. They're a lot worse off now. Okay? But you see this. People like Mugabe, I mean, what do you expect? You know it's going to go down this way.
Yeah, they've replaced competent white leadership with incompetent non-white leadership throughout the world, and particularly in places like Africa. And the result has been catastrophic for the people that actually have to live in those nations. Now, rather than just relying upon blanket statements, I want to take an in-depth look at various parts of the third world and explain to you what happened to them during the colonial period and what has happened to them in the post-colonial period. We're going to start with Islam, the Maghreb, and Andalusia. When Muslims threatened to destroy European civilization in the Middle Ages, they came out of the Maghreb, which is the northern coast of Africa west of Egypt, into Andalusia, which is the southernmost region of Spain. For centuries, the Muslims ruled Andalusia, while the Visigoth Catholics, who were the indigenous people of Spain at the time, lived under their tyranny. Finally, in 1492, all of Spain, all of the Iberian Peninsula, was liberated. And within the next 100 years, the Muslims were decisively defeated not only in Western Europe, but in Eastern Europe as well, at the Battle of Vienna and the Battle of Lepanto, a naval battle in the Mediterranean. Now, ironically, the vulnerability of Andalusia was demonstrated by devout Catholics. In the 1930s, communists and Masons took over Spain. The communists martyred hundreds of priests, brothers, nuns, and sisters. Liberation from the communists came out of the Maghreb, where Francisco Franco, a Spanish general, had assembled a colonial army and led that army from the Spanish colonies in the Maghreb into Spain and saved Spain from the communists and the Masons. In the modern era, the Maghreb was colonized by the French, the Italians, and the Spaniards, liberating the region from its tremendous piracy problem. The Italians colonized Libya, bringing it to a high culture and an architecture that resembles Florence. In 1947, the Italians were forced to surrender Libya, which became a sort of Arab monarchy. Now, let's talk about the slavery that they were talking about and the piracy. We always hear about how white Europeans enslaved non-white Africans. Actually, there is a much longer heritage of non-white Africans enslaving white Europeans. These are the Barbary Pirates. The Barbary Pirates that the U.S. military defeated and at the source of the phrase Shores of Tripoli in the Marine Corps hymn. We're going to talk about this in even greater depth after these words from our sponsors.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, you don't have to search too hard to find a double standard, an egregious one, with regards to colonialism, too. You know, it was, I guess, back in the 60s when many of the sub-Saharan African nations began flexing their muscles for independence and shook off the chains of colonialism en masse. And of course, the results of what's happened in those countries have been predictable since then. But if colonialism's bad, let's be consistent with it. Let's stop the colonialization of America by Hispanics. Let's stop the illegal invasion of America. You know, we're being colonized right now, and there's not a person in the media that's saying a damn word about it.
Or at least saying anything negative about it. That's exactly, you know, they think it's the greatest thing since floating soap that we're being colonized by non-whites. But of course, when whites colonized non-white areas and brought all the blessings of modernity in the first world to them, at least in Christian salvation and technology, well, of course, don't pay attention to any of that. You know, it was just really exploitation and oppression. But long before Europe colonized the Maghreb, or the northern coast of Africa west of Egypt, was colonizing Europe. That's where the Muslims, or the Moors, came from that dominated the Iberian Peninsula from 732 until 1492. It's also where the Barbary pirates came from. Tripoli, which is part of Libya, was their headquarters. They made lightning raids along the Mediterranean coast and all the way up the Atlantic coast, all the way to Denmark, kidnapping entire villages of white Europeans. The men who were young and vigorous were turned into galley slaves. The women who were attractive and young were turned into sex slaves and harems. The people that were too old or too ugly or too infirm to work were dispatched, in other words, killed by these Barbary pirates. And the Barbary pirates were doing this for over 1,000 years until they were stopped in the early 19th century by the U.S. Marines under Stephen Decatur in the during the Thomas Jefferson administration presidency of the United States. Now, why is that totally ignored in today's history books? Now, the other thing that we need to understand is that large parts of southern Europe were actually colonized and taken over by people from the Maghreb. We talked about Spain. Italy, south of Rome, was taken over by colonists from the Maghreb. That's why, for example, the Italian Renaissance, in which there was all this technological advance, artistic advance, was solely and exclusively the possession of northern Italy. Southern Italy, Bari, Naples, Rome, had no part in the Renaissance. It was Florence, it was Milan, it was Venice, it was Genoa. That's where Italy stayed white and did not have this admixture from people from the Maghreb. Italy, south of Rome, and Sicily were dominated, like Spain, for over 5 centuries by colonists from the Maghreb until they were driven out. Likewise, Ottoman Turks from 1453 on took over southeastern Europe, and that's why southeastern Europe is, and the Balkans as they're called, is considered the most backward part of Europe even to this day. People need to understand that Greece today is not like the Greece of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great did not look like Zorba the Greek. Zorba the Greek looked like he did because of the admixture of blood from people from the Maghreb and from Muslim Turkey. That's just the long and the short of it, folks. Now, let's go back to the Maghreb. In 1969, a group of Libyan officers staged a coup d'etat, which began the two-generation-long dictatorship of Muammar Gaddafi. Even the new tongue-twisting name of Libya, the Great Socialist People's Libyan Arab Jamahiriya, became an international joke. This regime was only saved by the discovery of oil. It was so incompetent that it ordered supplies in numbers many times greater than the capacity of its ports to dock the ships that brought them. It was complicit in terrorist mass murder, like the Lockerbie, Scotland tragedy, where the airplane was bombed, blew up over Lockerbie, Scotland, killing everybody on board. As bad as Gaddafi was, what followed was worse. This is under the Obama administration in the staged coup that we put together under the Marxist Obama administration. Libya fell into misrule by armed roving bands that killed Westerners, Christians, and even the United States ambassador to Libya. The pattern of replacing kings with extreme socialist military dictators and then replacing the dictators with murderous anti-Christian Muslims became a common theme in the Muslim world. The French created colonies in Tunisia and Morocco, that's another part of the Maghreb further to the west, that extended south to equatorial Africa. The French Foreign Legion was one of the best fighting forces in the world until President Charles de Gaulle humiliated it. The French treated Algeria somewhat differently, making it part of France itself. It became a good place to live. The West, however, betrayed the French, first in Indochina and then in Algeria. Almost 1 million French Algerians had to flee to European France. Virtually everything disastrous that happened in the Maghreb could have been stopped by the French and the Spanish Foreign Legions and a few legions of Carabinieri if the West had not lost its will. The West lost its will because the leftist media in America and in Europe was openly sympathetic with the revolutionaries, the people that wanted to drive out the European influence, and they basically guilt-tripped the French and the Spanish into giving up these colonies, and both places are not nearly as prosperous today as they had been under French and Spanish colonial rule. James.
Keith, you know, you'd like to think that something this basic would be elementary, that, you know, why would you spend an hour talking about this? It's all so obvious. You're just repeating what everybody knows, but you got to remember, I guess, and our audience is certainly an exception, and the audience of this network is certainly an exception to the rule, but you got to understand that. You know, I quoted Socrates a moment ago, the unexamined life isn't worth living. It's the historical relevance for education that matters, number one. You got to understand that as we continue to welcome an ever-growing mainstream audience, we can't take for granted that everyone is up to the curve and that they know everything. I mean, we live in a day and age where, you know, kids don't know the three branches of government. They don't know who the vice president is. They can sing every Beyonce song, especially if they go to Rutgers, where it's a college course now. But, you know, sometimes it's good to talk about advanced level stuff, and we do that on this show. We push the envelope. We explore taboos. Sometimes it's good to take a look back, revisit history, and clear the decks and just get into a little bit of this. I mean, you know, that's the charm of a variety show, I guess you could say.
Okay, let's get back to colonial nations, or nations that used to be European colonies. And for the moment, we're going to turn to apostolic Christianity, and I'll make the connection for you in just a moment. The apostles quickly spread Christianity, including St. Peter to Rome, St. James to Spain, St. Thomas to Syria and India, and St. Andrew to many countries. The evangelist St. Mark spread Christianity to Egypt. As a result, the Middle East, particularly Jordan, Lebanon, Iraq, and Syria, is the historic home of millions of Christians. These Christians belong to several branches of the Catholic Church, as well as several Eastern Orthodox churches. The Syriac Catholics possess the longest continuous form of the liturgy in Christendom, the one composed by St. Thomas the Apostle. Lebanon used to have a balance of power among Catholics, Orthodox Christians, and Muslims. Its capital city of Beirut was called the Paris of the Mideast. All that is gone today. Extreme Muslim bans from Iran kill Christians and make sporadic war on Israel. An advanced Arab country has deteriorated to a failed state of deadly chaos. In part due to our incompetent meddling in the aftermath of our wars against Iraq, the large Christian community that enjoyed freedom under Saddam Hussein is now in danger of persecution and extinction in the former Iraq. Saudi Arabia has never been evangelized. Mere possession of a Bible or a crucifix or an act of public Christian prayer can bring quick death. Some say when Turkey became secularized after World War I, the intellectual life of Islam was transferred to the Arabs, whose theology is more violent. The government-controlled areas of Syria still guarantee religious freedom, but the rebels have shown a shocking willingness to burn churches and martyr Christian clergy and teachers. Folks, we'll get back to this after more words from our sponsors.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Let me tell you what, folks. If every hour of my life went by as quickly as the time flies when I'm hosting this show, I'd be dead next week. I would just age, 50 more years in a week, and that'd be that. I'm telling you. I can't believe 2 hours is almost up tonight. Remember, folks, listen, you like the kind of commentary, the hard-hitting brass-knuckle politics you get here on the Political Cesspool? Support the work. Support the work that we're doing here. We need you this first quarter fundraising drive. Back over to Keith. One final segment on colonialism. We might continue this next week, I believe, Keith, correct? We're going to do this another week? Maybe, maybe not. You've got to tune in next week to find out. Eddie the Bombardier Miller on deck, and he'll be with us for the third hour. We're going to talk about Russia. We're going to talk about the economy. I believe he's wrapping up a series on the economy tonight. I don't even know what we're doing each week. We just come in here and do it, you know?
Well, suffice it to say that in the Middle East, particularly in the Arabian Peninsula and the areas adjacent to it, the formerly rich diversity of religions and peoples is being obliterated under the indigenous population, the Muslim population. And, of course, it only thrived when white Europeans were in charge of the area and these areas were colonies. Now, let's go to the Congo and Katanga in southern and sub-Saharan Africa. If ever a country was not ready for independence, the Belgian Congo was it. The new independent government had to pass a law against allowing cans of food to have pictures of people on them for fear that the purchasers might think the cans contained human flesh. They were cannibals, in other words. One region enjoyed modern civilization. That's one area of the Belgian Congo, the Katanga province. The enlightened United Nations bombed Katanga back into submission and the Stone Age, basically, by the central government and its concerns about cannibalism. Now, they turned over the Belgian Congo to, the indigenous population, and the Congo, which had formerly been a rather prosperous colony of Belgium, quickly became a basket case dependent upon foreign aid, just like virtually every other sub-Saharan African nation that used to be a colony. Now let's look at East Africa. In my lifetime, and I'm 51 years old, it was possible, 63 years old. I was born in 51, so I'm 63 years old, excuse me. It was possible for a family to pick up a Land Rover in Cape Town and drive it to Cairo in safety, never leaving British Commonwealth jurisdiction until it reached the Kingdom of Egypt. Today, it is unlikely that a family would get to Cairo alive. Heading north from South Africa, the next country they would enter is Zimbabwe, formerly Southern Rhodesia and Rhodesia. It was a self-governing colony, the ideal kind of colonial government. It did not want to give up its government. When backed into a corner, it declared independence. It probably had the largest percentage of competent citizens of any African country south of the equator except South Africa. That's Rhodesia, the former Rhodesia. The British government insisted on treating the people as a subservient colony and imposed a government whose monetary policy made the Weimar Republic seem thrifty. Huge confiscations took place. It was impossible to say that the British-imposed version of independence improved anything. About halfway up to Egypt, straddling the equator, is Kenya, the only success story in East Africa. It has a civilized government modeled on its old colonial government. Petty criminals are still whipped. The king's African rifles simply became the Kenyan African rifles without missing a beat. I watched an inauguration of a Kenyan president on television once. Three of the most prominent guests were the Cardinal Archbishop of Nairobi, the Anglican Archbishop Primate of Kenya, and a distinguished old British general. Great Britain has turned its back on those Britons who stayed behind and helped build the new Kenya. Kenya is a country that has learned to live with contradictions. They say that tribalism no longer has a place in Kenya, but the Kikuyu teach their children modern skills and the Maasai teach their children to kill with spears. The Kikuyu are politicians, but their bodyguards are the Maasai. Kenya, however, refuses to admit that there ever was a Mau Mau uprising. This brutal return to barbarism was indeed real and killed many Europeans as well as blacks. West of Kenya is Uganda, the kind of country where people believe in turning stones into hand grenades by blessing them. Kenya is overrun by refugees willing to serve a short term in a Kenyan jail for entering the country illegally in order to escape death at the hands of the government of Uganda. North of Kenya is Sudan, where they kill Christians on sight. Much of the Christian population of Sudan has fled to Kenya. The northern end of East Africa is Egypt. Like Libya, it followed a path from colony to monarchy to military dictatorship and then to mob rule. Egypt's mobs have killed many Christians and burned many countries. And, of course, the Obama administration was complicit in toppling the Mubarak regime, which was basically a puppet regime that we had put in place to begin with, and replaced it with a much more unstable and murderous Muslim Brotherhood regime. Egypt was evangelized 2,000 years ago by St. Mark. Its Christian culture is rich in both Catholic and Orthodox rites. There is a strong tradition of sending Muslim children to the best Christian schools in Egypt. All of this is threatened by the mobs and by radical groups like the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, let's turn our attention briefly to the subcontinent of India. India is the greatest colonial success story. In a single colony that included what is now India, except for Goa, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, and others lived together and worked together. There were Sikhs, Bengalis, and the finest British civil servants in the empire. Within hours of independence, civil war broke out and millions of people died. This is the legacy of the so-called Saint Mahatma Gandhi, who supposedly was the role model for Martin Luther King. India was evangelized by the apostle St. Thomas. Its two ancient liturgies are very similar to the Syriac, also composed by St. Thomas the Apostle. In centuries of lost contact with the West, the Indians kept the Catholic faith intact. Okay, and now let's go to the last part, the Malvinas and Northern Ireland. There are only three places where colonialism is respectable among the liberal elites. The Malvinas, which the British call the Falkland Islands, Gibraltar, and the six counties of Northern Ireland. The Falklands are small islands off the Argentinian coast claimed by both Great Britain and Argentina. The British won the last war over them. Gibraltar is a tiny British colony in Spain, which the Spaniards would like back. Ireland consists of four provinces. Three of them and about one-third of the fourth province are in the Republic of Ireland. Two-thirds of the fourth one, this so-called six counties, are part of Great Britain. The Catholic area of the six counties held by Britain would like to be reunited with the Republic of Ireland, in other words, the rest of the Irish island, but the politically powerful Protestant faction opposes this. That's Scots-Irish, basically from Ulster plantation that were imported there from lowland Scotland versus the Roman Catholic indigenous population of Ireland. There is no danger of offending cannibals by hanging on to those last three colonies, only of offending Catholics, whom our liberal elites hate, so the architects of decolonization never extended it to Catholics. The old Greater India, once a jewel of the British Empire, has been replaced by countries that hate each other and bring terrorism to Bombay, North Africa, and the Middle East, once a wonderful mixture of French, English, Italian, and Spanish civilizations, is now the most violent and uncivilized place on earth, Saigon, with its marvelous mixture of French and Chinese civilizations, is gone. East Africa, once a model of enlightened colonialism, has returned to barbarism. Decolonization has turned out to be a lot like giving a loaded machine gun to a 13-year-old and telling him to make up his own gun safety rules. It's time for the adult countries, i.e. the white countries of Europe and elsewhere in the world, if there still are any, to take charge. Of course, we don't have the will to rule, even though we have the capabilities and competence to rule. And quite frankly, just like things go better with Coke, the rule of these nations or these parts of the world was much better in colonial times because the colonies were run by competent modern whites, and they were able to bring the blessings of modernity and technology to these areas. The only reason any of these places have any experience whatsoever with 20th century technology is because, and with Christianity, is because of the European colonial interlude. On the other hand, the left wants you to think that this was a time of terrible shame, that we should be ashamed of colonialism, that is, white European nations and the United States of America colonizing third world nations. Quite frankly, it's the best thing that ever happened to those parts of the world. And the only reason they are have any prosperity at all is the legacy of colonialism. Now, we have several minutes left on this program, at least on this segment of the program. Now, we haven't talked yet about Israel. Israel, of course, was created by Europeans who wanted to dump Jews into the former Palestine, despite the fact that that area of the world was thickly populated with an indigenous Palestinian Muslim population. Okay, folks, we're going to have to break at this point, but we've got a few words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.